Part 2. The clock struck 8, and she rose suddenly, dropping her sewing on her chair. She went to the stairfoot door, opened it, listening. Then she went out, locking the door behind her. Something scuffled in the yard, and she started, though she knew it was only the rats with which the place was overrun. The night was very dark, and in the great bay of railway lines bulked with trucks, there was no trace of light. Only away back she could see a few yellow lamps at the pit top and the red smear of the burning pit bank on the night. She hurried along the edge of the track then, crossing the converging lines, came to the stile by the white gates when she emerged on the road. Then the fear which had led her shrank. People were walking up to New Brinsley. She saw the lights in the houses. 20 yards further on were the broad windows of the Prince of Wales, very warm and bright, and the loud voices of men could be heard distinctly. What a fool she had been to imagine that anything had happened to him! He was merely drinking over there at the Prince of Wales. She faltered. She had never yet been to fetch him, and she never would go. So she continued her walk towards the long straggling line of houses standing back on the highway. She entered a passage between the dwellings. Mr. Wrigley? Yes. Did you want him? No, he's not in at this minute. The raw-boned woman leaned forward from her dark scullery and peered at the other, upon whom fell a dim light through the blind of the kitchen window. Is it Mrs. Bates? She asked, with a tone tinged with respect. Yes, I wondered if your master was at home. Mine hasn't come yet. Hasn't he? Oh, Jack's been home and had his dinner and gone out. He's just gone for half an hour afore bedtime. Did you call at the Prince of Wales? No. No, you didn't like... It's not very nice. The other woman was indulgent. There was an awkward pause. Jack never said nothing about your master, she said. No. I expect he's stuck in there. Elizabeth Bates said this bitterly and with recklessness. She knew that the woman across the yard was standing at her door listening, but she did not care. As she turned, "Stop a minute. I'll just go and ask Jack if he knows anything," said Mrs. Wrigley. "Oh, no, I wouldn't like to put..." "Yes, I will. If you'll just step inside and see as the childer don't come downstairs and set the cells afire." Elizabeth Bates, murmuring a remonstrance, stepped inside. The other woman apologised for the state of the room. The kitchen needed apology. There were little frocks and trousers and childish undergarments on the squab and on the floor, and a litter of playthings everywhere. On the black American cloth of the table were pieces of bread and cake, crusts, slops, and a teapot with cold tea. "Aye, ours is just as bad," said Elizabeth Bates, looking at the woman, not at the house. Mrs. Wrigley put a shawl over her head and hurried out, saying, "I shouldn't be a minute." The other sat, noting with faint disapproval the general untidiness of the room. Then she fell to counting the shoes of various sizes scattered over the floor. There were 12. She sighed and said to herself, "No wonder," glancing at the litter. There came the scratching of 2 pairs of feet on the yard, and the Wrigleys entered. Elizabeth Bates rose. Wrigley was a big man with very large bones. His head looked particularly bony. Across his temple was a blue scar, caused by a wound got in the pit, a wound in which the cold dust remained blue like tattooing. "Hasn't he come warm yet?" asked the man, without any form of greeting, but with deference and sympathy. "I couldn't say where he is. Is none over there?" He jerked his head to signify the Prince of Wales. "He's happen gone up to the yew," said Mrs. Wrigley. There was another pause. Wrigley had evidently something to get off his mind. "I left him finishing a stint," he began. "Loose all had been gone about 10 minutes when we coming away, and I shouted, 'How's it coming, Walt?' And he said, 'Go on, I shanna be but half a minute.' And so we come up to the bottom, me and Bowers, thinking as he were just behind, and had come up in the next bantle.